Bayern München are champions of Europe once again.
It comes back towards Joshua Kimmich. Little dink up. Oh, free header! Kingsley Coman! There's the story. The headlines were written. The cross to the far post. And it's the former Paris man who gives Bayern the lead in the UEFA Champions League final with a cute header at the far post. It was only a matter of a few metres out. Nothing Keylor Navas could do. Paris Saint-Germain 0, Bayern München 1.
It's heartbreak for Paris Saint-Germain in their maiden final, but it's a first Champions League crown in 7 years for Bayern. We'll bring you all the reaction to an absorbing Lisbon showpiece to round up what has been an historic season right here on Matchday Live. Welcome to the official UEFA Champions League podcast. I'm Rob Daly, and the longest season in history has finally come to an end. Bayern beat Paris Saint-Germain 1-0 to win the Champions League for the first time since 2013. I'm joined by commentator John Bradley. John, you watched the action in Lisbon. We need your three-word match report to get things going.
Coman haunts hometown.
And he is out there celebrating with his teammates on the pitch right now. European football expert Chris Parrott is with me. Chris, he was a surprise inclusion. Kingsley Coman in the starting 11 left Paris in 2014. It seemed written in the stars.
Hansi Flick really can do no wrong when you leave Ivan Perisic on the bench, who's been fantastic in the Final Eight tournament here in Lisbon. And then Coman, who hadn't impacted the game maybe in the way he would have hoped, and then ghosted in and planted a very, very good header. It wasn't the easiest header in the world. He had a very small area of the goal, I think, to get it in and beyond Keylor Navas, such a top goalkeeper, and he managed it. There will be those detractors of Paris Saint-Germain who will say, well, look at the money they've spent, and it's a guy from their academy who they let go. I think that would be unfair. He wanted to leave the club. In modern football, so many players come back to beat their old teams, and go back to the quote from Hansi Flick when he said that's why he's playing tonight, because so often if you pick a player against their former club, they just have that extra ounce, and that's the difference in a final like this.
And he was named man of the match. A brilliant night in Lisbon. Let's remind ourselves of the action.
Another ball for Mbappe, played forward towards Neymar. Brilliant stop, Neymar again, and Neuer is there again to deny him. Big, big save by the Bayern goalkeeper. It's delivered Lewandowski on the turn. Oh, it's come back off the woodwork. Keylor Navas was beaten. It was a bit of a bobbler from Robert Lewandowski as he received the ball at waist height, turned in an instant. Navas was scrambling across, and the ball comes back off the frame of the goal. And this time Paris survive. It comes back towards Joshua Kimmich. Little dink up. Oh, free header! Kingsley Coman! There's the story. The headlines were written. The cross to the far post. And it's the former Paris man who gives Bayern the lead in the UEFA Champions League final with a cute header at the far post. It was only a matter of a few metres out. Nothing Keylor Navas could do. Paris Saint-Germain 0, Bayern München 1. It's Mbappe. He's on the edge of the penalty area. They've got one chance. It's towards Neymar. He turns. He shoots. It's a cross goal. And it's just wide. They say you always get one chance in a final. Maybe that was the chance, as a couple of the Paris players sink to their knees. Neymar unable to take it. It has been the hardest football season ever. It has been the longest football season ever. And it ends with Bayern München as the champions of Europe. The red and white ribbons are flying once again on the UEFA Champions League trophy. Neuer once again has his hands on the prize. It's Bayern München for the sixth time who are the champions of Europe.
'74, '1975, '1976, 2001, 2013, and now 2020, they level Liverpool as being the third most successful team in the history of this competition, behind Milan and Real Madrid. We can see Robert Lewandowski, by the way, pitch side, still pretty emotional, holding back tears as he's being interviewed by TV crews. There are many individual players to pick out, John, but in terms of something we were talking about on commentary, great players who've never won the Champions League. Lewandowski now avoids being one of those on that list.
Yes, I remember commentating on the final at Wembley in London in 2013 and that Borussia Dortmund side that had got through to the final so dramatically and produced that heroic comeback against Malaga on the way, and everyone thought this was the year that Jurgen Klopp's side was going to move on, and Lewandowski was the leader. He was the one who was scoring all the goals, and it ended in tears, of course, as Arjen Robben scored a late goal to win 2-1. And you wondered when the chance would come for him again, and making that move to Bayern and to Munich, you thought, well, it will come pretty quickly, but he's had to wait a while. But if ever there is a more deserving winner of the trophy in European football this season than him, then I'd like to know who it is, because, you know, just absolutely sensational, and done it with a great humility as well.
He is now in floods of tears in that TV interview, Rob, and when he got his hands on the trophy, he had his own little moment, his own almost trophy lift, actually, himself. And boy, did he deserve it. 15 goals. He actually had quite a quiet final. He hit the post in the first half with one of his trademark spins and shot, and it beat the goalkeeper. But apart from that, Paris Saint-Germain kept him quiet. But, you know, just look at the numbers. He's a guy who's probably very soon going to be third on the all-time list of goal scorers. He's three behind Raul. The three ahead of him, Raul, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, have all lifted this trophy on countless occasions. So I'm delighted for Robert Lewandowski that he has finally got over the line. And as you mentioned, left those great players like the Brazilian Ronaldo and George Weah and Zlatan Ibrahimovic behind. And finally, he is a Champions League winner.
We can see Ander Herrera being interviewed as well. We'll try and get the thoughts of both camps before we come off air tonight. But let's digest the game itself. Chris, how did Bayern go about winning this one in Lisbon?
It was a lot cagier, I would say, than perhaps we expected, given how many goals both teams had scored en route. It was more measured from both teams. Paris Saint-Germain were happy to sit back and play on the counter-attack. First half, they had some great chances. I know Lewandowski hit the post, but Neymar was denied when he was through on goal. Kylian Mbappe really should have scored on half-time. Really should have scored. Lovely 1-2 of Ander Herrera. You just thought he was going to score, and he sort of passed it straight to Manuel Neuer. Second half, Bayern, again, it was a very similar story. Bayern had more of the ball, and then just when you thought the game had reached a bit of a lull, and both defences actually were on top, I think it was Joshua Kimmich's ball into the penalty area, and I think John called it rightly. Two of the Paris Saint-Germain defenders tried to play offside. Thilo Kehrer wasn't on the same wavelength. He was then caught flat-footed, and Kingsley Coman saw the opportunity, ghosted him behind him and planted a very good header. And then after that, you saw both sides of this Hansi Flick Bayern team. We know they can score eight against Barcelona, but they managed the game so, so well. Paris Saint-Germain had one chance right at the end when Neymar and Choupo-Moting almost combined, but they defended so well as a unit after going 1-0 up, and that's what winners do. They can win by a million goals to nil, but they can also win 1-0.
I think when you get chances at this level in, you know, the game of this magnitude, you can't keep wasting them, and it would be fair to say that Paris did that, but it would also be a lack of respect to Manuel Neuer, because he made two outstanding saves when they did have those one-on-ones, and you know, let's sing the praises of a goalkeeper who's come back from serious injuries and has reached, you know, a peak performance level in this game once again in the Champions League final. To perform like that just shows what an outstanding goalkeeper he is. But when you do get those chances, you do have to take them, and sometimes you can't give the goalkeeper a chance to make the save. I think what will disappoint everyone from Paris and the club and their supporters is the fact that they lost their cohesion a little and their composure a little towards the end. It just got too frantic. And as we mentioned in commentary, and as we mentioned, as Chris has just said there, Thilo Kehrer got caught with tunnel vision for the goal. You know, listen, anyone would do it, because he had three red shirts around him, one of whom right in front of his eye line was Robert Lewandowski, and he got attracted by Lewandowski. So while Thiago Silva and Presnel Kimpembe went out to form a line to catch them offside, he stayed in, and obviously the ball went over his head, and Kingsley Coman had the, wasn't the easiest of tasks to head the ball home, but it was a cute header, as we said.
It didn't look that natural to him. He sort of closed his eyes and got it over the line.
He almost sort of blinked when he headed it, but he managed to get it. And, you know, here's a guy, well, as I mentioned, he is still Paris Saint-Germain's youngest ever player, 16 years and 8 months. But here he is tonight, completely breaking their hearts as their wait for the trophy goes on. But again, to come back to a huge call to start him, and you have to say it worked. There was certainly at halftime, I was thinking Ivan Perisic can feel very, very, not unhappy, but unlucky not to have started the game. But, you know, everything that Hansi Flick does at the moment anyway. What I mean, they've now dropped points in one game since he took over. And that was a draw. That is ridiculous.
Just on Coleman, he nearly scored 2 minutes after the goal, didn't he? And Bayern nearly scored twice in 2 minutes straight after they'd scored. You know, it was almost like, we've got the goal now, we're going to pummel you. And I thought they controlled the second half, whereas in the first half they got that hit on the break a couple of times. You know, and let's bear in mind Bayern losing Jerome Boateng to that injury in the first half. Let's give some credit to Niklas Süle, who came on and did ever so well. I thought David Alaba, just, you know, we've seen him win this competition as a left fullback. We've seen him playing midfield in the Champions League for Pep Guardiola's Bayern. So, you know, to play as a centre-back like he has done there, wonderful player, a wonderful team, but again, brilliantly led by those who know how, those who embody the Bayern culture, the Bayern spirit, the Neuers, the Thomas Müllers. Lewandowski has become very much part of that. And a man who, you know, is possibly going to leave them in Thiago, who's just, I mean, he's almost passed the Champions League final to death there. He had the ball so much and never wasted it.
I think he had 97% passing accuracy and he was the top passer, Thiago. I mean, that is what he does. Yeah. But he was able in the biggest game to dominate the ball, partly because of the Paris Saint-Germain tactics. And, you know, I'll mention it again. They played on the counter-attack. They played for a couple of moments when they would hope that Neymar or Di Maria or Mbappe would be able to get the better in a one-on-one situation.
It's hard to begrudge them doing that.
It is.
Given how Bayern had been playing.
Absolutely, and how high their line was. But when they did have those moments tonight, quite a number of them came up against Joshua Kimmich, and he was fantastic. And so was Alphonso Davies, actually, after there was a moment in the first half when he picked up a yellow card, he got nutmegged by Di Maria, and you thought, this could be a really tricky night. But he seemed to grow, as we've seen over the last couple of months. And for him, at the tender age he is, to be a Champions League winner, what might that kid go on to achieve?
Chris, there were interesting moments in that first half, and I'm glad you mentioned Di Maria, because they just managed to get a grip of the game as we moved towards half-time, I thought, did Paris. And particularly, there were a couple of sensational passes, one from Leandro Paredes that released Mbappe, and one, I mean, from Ander Herrera, that was on a different planet to release Angel Di Maria for a chance. And just then you thought that those two were going to dominate the midfield, but as we say, you know, the half-time probably came at the wrong time for them.
Speaking of Ander Herrera, he's been speaking about his disappointment following tonight's defeat.
I think we have done everything to win the match. I think we have created 5-6 big, big chances. They have created probably 2-3 with the post, but they scored the one that they had in the second half. Right now we feel bad for our people, because we know how important it is for our fans, for the history of our club. But we have to think about the things that we have done this season, the group we have created, the atmosphere we have created in the club. We have won 4 titles. We have lost the Champions League final without deserving, I think. So right now it's difficult to sleep, it's difficult to speak, it's difficult to explain. But from tomorrow, at least myself, and I'm sure my team is, they think the same, we are going to start again. We are going to start again.
Ander Herrera speaking like one of the leaders of the group a year on from his free transfer from Manchester United. In terms of the changes that we saw, Chris, Thomas Tuchel brought on the likes of Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting, who did the business for him in the quarter-final. We did see a number of changes from Tuchel. We did not see Mauro Icardi, and I could sense in commentary you really felt they should have turned to a guy who, you know, let's face it, he can score from half a chance, a quarter chance, whatever you want to call it.
Probably, certainly in the top three for me, most natural finishers in European football, Robert Lewandowski would be in that list as well. And there was a moment when Neymar spun and cross come shot and it went across Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting, who flicked out a leg, and had he made contact with the ball, he might have scored. And I had said it before that moment, I'm not now saying, you know, it after the time. I think Icardi may well have put a chance like that away, and you could see he was a little bit forlorn on the bench. It was a surprise that we didn't see him. I mean, Thomas Tuchel will turn around and say he brought on Choupo-Moting in the quarterfinals and they scored those two late goals against Atalanta to go through. But I was surprised we didn't see a predatory centre-forward like Icardi come on, because they were never going to get many chances against this Bayern team this evening. But if they did create one, personally, if I was a Paris fan, I would have been hoping it would have fallen to Icardi and he wasn't on the pitch.
We have the first Canadian Champions League winner tonight in Alphonso Davies, who's been speaking after the game.
I just want to say thank you guys for supporting me back home. I don't know, this is for you guys, I guess. I mean, you know, who would ever thought a guy from, you know, Canada playing at a club like Bayern Munich and winning Champions League, you know, never could have guessed it. I think two years ago, if someone told me this, I'd be like, yeah, you're lying. But, I mean, dreams do come true. And I just want to say thank you, everyone, for supporting me back home.
Yeah, he's been brilliant, and he might well pop up in our category of best under 21 players this year. A lot was made, John, of the potential battle between whether Bayern would be able to try and get him behind him, if he's a Paris Saint-Germain be able to get him behind him, given his attacking tendencies. But I don't really remember too many moments where he was properly caught out tonight in Lisbon.
And he was cautioned just past the midway point of the first half. It didn't faze him at all. Still played the same way. And, you know, you would say by the end of it, when he cushioned a header back to his goalkeeper from 4 metres, there is a great level of trust between goalkeeper and defender there. So, you know, people talk about his attacking prowess and what he's done in Lisbon in the build-up to the final. But I think we saw both sides of him as a footballer tonight, and a mature young individual. I think we heard that then from, you know, what he said. He's a very mature 19-year-old.
And well, he might, given the journey he's been on, Rob, not just this season, but, you know, here's a guy who was born in a refugee camp in Ghana, arrived in Canada and could barely speak a word of English. The hurdles he has overcome to get to this stage, it's no surprise then that, you know, playing in a football match, you know, is small fry compared to that. That's not to take anything away from his performance, but he is an unbelievable success story, and at 19 has the footballing world at his feet.
Okay, we'll break away from the final itself for a few minutes. We will get some more reaction on Match Day Live, but let's try and round up what's been an amazing and long drawn out Champions League season. We're going to do the Match Day Live end of season awards. Now, these are pretty unofficial because it's me, Chris, and John
who are just picking this.
So we've got four categories. Best game. So, John, you can go first.
Well, 8-2. I'll do the easy one. Bayern 8, Barcelona 2. The most unbelievable game that I think we've ever seen in terms of a one-off game of football between two great sides.
Another one with 8 goals, group stage, Chelsea 4, Ajax 4.
I thought you were going to go for
that. That was frantic football. That was mad football. I mean, I think Ajax were 4-1 up, right? And then Chelsea got that point, which was really, really important for them going through, and Ajax being knocked out in the group stage. That was a brilliant listen on Match Day Live. I was sitting having a very nice beer listening to the programme and thinking, this is chaos.
I think I might go Liverpool 2, Atletico 3. That was just an incredibly good game. Liverpool, I thought, was superb that night, but then got sucker punched by Atletico, and then that dramatic extra time. I thought that was a brilliant game at Anfield. Next, player of the season in the Champions League. Chris, you can go first this time.
Before tonight, it had to be Robert Lewandowski, and after tonight, it had to be Robert Lewandowski. 15 goals, only 2 off the all-time record, which he probably would have broken had we had two-legged quarterfinals and semi-finals. And as we've already mentioned, delighted for him that he is finally a winner of this competition.
In a way, I'm a little disappointed for him because he's the perfect nine who didn't make it the perfect 10 of scoring in 10 games in a row tonight, which I think would have been fitting for the season he's had. And I don't think anyone would argue with Robert Lewandowski as, you know, a player of the year.
Yeah, I've got two down. I had Lewandowski and Serge Gnabry. And maybe because I was at the Spurs game when he banged in four goals in one night. It's been an incredible season. And I really feel the season where Serge Gnabry's come to the fore. Next, we'll go with best young player. So this is 21 and under. John, you can go first.
Okay, I've got six.
Okay,
six.
I had to.
That's not an award, then, is it?
I had to include Rodrigo because we saw him score that brilliant hat trick on Match Day Live against Galatasaray in the group stage. Obviously, Erling Haaland has to come into it as well. And I just wanted to give honourable mentions to Renan Lodi at Atletico. I think it's been absolutely sensational. Jadon Sancho, and a player to look out for in the Champions League moving forward. Someone who really impressed me when I saw him, a Patson Daka of Salzburg.
Yes.
I've only got one. I mean, John's mentioned most of the players who were good under the age of 21. I think it is Haaland, but Maxence Kakere, only 20 at Lyon, was sensational on their run, particularly in Lisbon in the final eight competition.
I think I'm going to go Haaland because it was just so ridiculous.
Brutal,
and he did it for two teams. And I watched back the 2-1 win over Paris Saint-Germain.
Almost knocked them out.
And oh, my God, the goals were just absolute madness. His second one where he thumped it in and did that iconic sort of yoga pose celebration was absolutely brilliant. Best goal, I think that goal would have actually been up there for me. I've actually put that Luis Suarez volley against Inter in the group stage where he just hit it from the edge of the penalty area is one of mine. John, what do you reckon? Best goal?
I have two obscene goals.
Okay.
Hakim Ziyech's goal from the right-hand touchline for Ajax against Valencia, if you remember that one. And Marcel Sabitzer's ridiculous volley.
Oh, no. I should have picked that.
That's
Leipzig
mine.
Is it,
Zenit.
Chris?
Yeah. See, John keeps on having two guesses. I think the goal of the season is Sabitzer's volley against Zenit. When he
so
cuts
too.
Across it, and hits it as pure as you like into the top corner.
It was ridiculous, wasn't it, Chris? He had no right to do that to a footballer because the goalkeeper just looked and didn't even bother diving. He just waved at it as it went into the top corner.
Agreed, but unfortunately, John picked Hakim Ziyech, so I've picked Marcel Sabitzer.
Very good.
OK, let's reflect more on tonight's UEFA Champions League final. We can see Thomas Tuchel being interviewed pitch side. Of course, has had this injury through this one-off match tournament, and we'll try and get some reaction to him before the end of the show. Where does this Bayern team, do you think, rank in sort of the pantheon of Bayern teams? This is from Owen Hargreaves, by the way, who won it with Bayern in 2000, I think, 2000. This is one of the greatest Bayern teams ever. Flick's turned this team into an absolute machine. Everyone in Germany is blown away. The football has blown everyone away. Last year, Liverpool outplayed them, and we thought it was the end of an era. And now it's the start of an era. Chris, what do you reckon?
I think he's absolutely spot on. Statistically, this is the best Bayern season in the Champions League because they've won every single match. Every single match they've won, which...
Will there be a little asterisk next to the fact that we've had one leg?
Possibly, but then...
semi-finals.
But then you could remove the asterisk by saying they've almost broken the all-time goal-scoring record and they've had three less matches.
John, you did that. You mentioned it there. You did the 2013 for us
final
on Match Day Live. Mm. And there are massive similarities for me between this group and that group, including some direct personnel. What do you reckon?
I think that the funny thing is, Robbie, is that it was supposed to be the golden era for Bayern after that final, and bringing in Pep Guardiola was supposed to take them to another level. And unfortunately, they plateaued and he couldn't lift them to, you know, that great European success that they perhaps should have had back in those days. So, you know, that was a disappointment for them. And ever since then, they've been chasing number six, chasing this crown, and, you know, going through a succession of coaches to get there. And, you know, they needed to just have a look at their... former national team assistant manager and their former player to pull him in, who's got the biggest of smiles on his face. And he's an unassuming gentleman, his Hansi Flick, isn't he? But my word, he's pulled this side together and he's got them playing in a very, very good way.
And for him, having lost the final as a player with Bayern against Porto in the 80s, lovely that he can get that winner's medal. That they've already made in the last 18 months significant changes, Bayern. The recruitment's been fantastic. You mentioned Leroy Sané's joining one, but you know, if they had have lost tonight, we would have been, I think, as we are with Barcelona, looking down the spine of the team, many of those who played in 2013, and saying, OK, where do they go now? Neuer is 34, Boateng's 31, Müller is 30. So at the moment, they have a lovely balance of experience and some of the best young players in the world. But what happens over the next 2-3 years, they are going to have to be clever. At some stage, they are going to have to look for a replacement for Manuel Neuer. At some stage, Robert Lewandowski's goals, I'm talking in 2 or 3 years. So there are still some big decisions for Bayern to make over the coming 12, 24 months. But this team will firmly believe that certainly next season in the Champions League, which starts not very far away, they could easily be favourites again.
And an omen for Thomas Tuchel. He's followed Jurgen Klopp all through his career. Of course, Klopp lost the final against Real Madrid and won it a year later. Tuchel needs to bring Paris back next year and win it next year.
We shall see. John, Chris, thank you very much for your company. Joshua Kimmich this evening has said, "The biggest day of my career. When you win a title like this with your brothers on the pitch, that is all you can ask for." That is all we have time for in this Champions League season. Thank you so much for listening to our Match Day Live show and to the podcast, which is still available via your favorite podcast provider. Match Day Live will be back for the 2020-21 season very soon, Tuesday the 20th of October, and we'll have all the group stage action on UEFA.com, the Champions League app, on Sirius XM FC. But for myself, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
The red and white ribbons are flying once again on the UEFA Champions League trophy. Neuer once again has his hands on the prize. It's Bayern München for the sixth time who are the champions of Europe.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.